I saw a lot of green last night. That's not unusual. There will be no mention of snakes in this message. I want to let you know that tonight. So I hope everybody's doing well on St. Patrick's Day. I do have this. It is said that St. Patrick's used the shamrock to explain the Trinity to Irish pagans during the 5th century. So that's all I have. But it's important. I mean, that means a lot. Go get your shamrock.
Yeah, represent. Barry, explain.
Really snakes, snakes, no. Shamrock, what the shamrock represents? The oh, Father, Son, and Spirit. The three leaves. It's all in one. One and three. One. What? You know, it's always nice. It's always nice to have backup when you're up here standing. Yeah, well, anyway. So I will start out with this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved by the power of God, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has God not made the foolish wisdom of the world? Foolish the wisdom of the world. For since the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, could not know him. God was pleased through foolishness that of that which was preached to save those who believe. Jews demanded a sign. Greeks looked to wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Wisdom, you know, signs, and you think of weakness and foolishness. So who are you looking, who are you hoping to see? Well, referring to Jesus, his walk, his path to the cross. Because humanly speaking, we in our own human nature see God in a certain way that's not representative of how God does things. You know, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. But it seems like our humanness and the way we see God from our vantage point is very self-centered and purposes for ourselves, how we see God. So today we're just going to look at this and see what does Jesus want us to know and understand correctly how to see what Jesus is really doing here as he is headed to the cross and what it means for us. And because it is important, very important. So, my great God, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity once again to come together in your presence to seek understanding. Faith seeks understanding, and we want that. We ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you lead us today. Help me to get out of the way to myself. Please speak whatever you'd speak to those here and wherever to our hearts. I ask this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, again, the truth is not always what you think about God. You might see him the wrong way. Yeah. So, today we're going to look at John 12, 20 through 33. through that text and kind of look into this. So the background, works like this. There's a lot going on. The Jewish festival is taking place. The Jesus triumphant entry into Jerusalem took place. There's a lot of things, a lot of the city's packed for worship. And there's a lot of talk. A lot of talk about who is this man. He's doing signs and all these things. And then you have the raising of Lazarus from the grave, which really impresses people. And they're very curious to know who this man is. So what you have, you have Greeks enter into this situation that they want to see Jesus. Whether they were just passing through, or maybe they were actually there to worship Gentiles. They represent the Gentiles and the world, you know, outside Judaism. So I don't know, it makes you wonder if this triggered Jesus to give, this is the time to tell you and predict my death. But he went into this discourse and said, you want to see me? Do you really want to see me and know what I'm going to do? Okay, I'm going to tell you. Again, we can see things. I get back to seeing things. It's like say you go to a restaurant. I won't bring up anybody here today because I get in trouble. So you go to a restaurant, you order a burger, okay, and the waitress brings it out, and you take a bite, and there's no meat in the burger. It's just a piece of lettuce and a pickle. And you get the waitress back, and you say, hey, where's the beef? I mean, where's the meat? Sorry, coined a phrase in the past. But then, so the waitress says, well, sir, we haven't had any problem with our sandwiches before. That's not the point. Where's the meat at? And then you say, okay, I want to see the manager. See the manager. I want to be satisfied. I want to this fixed. I want to see what he can do for me to alleviate this issue with no a meatless hamburger. So in other words, you can see this from the vantage point of our fallen nature and how we look at things. I want to see, I don't want to get to know the manager. I don't want to go to his house. I don't want to, you know, hang out with him. I want him to see that I need to have things satisfied with me, that I can have my burger. Okay. So that's how this is framed, and those that were following Jesus, you know, they had a lot of questions, and the Greeks, we don't know what they were going to ask. And of course, Paul talks about them seeking wisdom. Well, maybe they were going to just do some questioning. Have it our way, get satisfaction is the human way that we see things. But this is very contrary to the way God works. And especially when you're talking about seeing Jesus in his approach and what he's doing as he's marching towards the cross. So read, this is I don't know if you got this, John 20 through 22. All right. Now there were some Greeks among us who went up to the festival, and they came to Philip, who was in Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. And Philip wanted to tell Andrew, and Andrew told Philip, and they both told Jesus. So that's how that worked. And so Jesus gets into this this situation where, okay, I'm going to tell the truth. This is, they have to know, I need to reset your thinking on this. So he replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies and produces, it will die and produce many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant will also be, and my Father will honor the one who serves me. So this is like, we will do anything to preserve our lives. To die, and what Jesus is saying here, to go, that death really means leading you into life. It makes absolutely no sense. When you think of, let's see. When you think of Nicodemus and meeting what Jesus said that night, you know, Nicodemus said, you know, Jesus told him about being born again and the spirit being like wind. And Nicodemus said, well, how can this be? It's like it didn't penetrate. And the idea of following Jesus, we don't know if Nicodemus really did follow Jesus. He shows up to help after Jesus' death. But it's that he couldn't leave his quote-unquote position within the Jewish hierarchy. He was satisfied in his position. It would have been hard for him to follow. He resistant to that. Especially when, you know, you're talking about following somebody. You want people following Jesus, they want us, before they were going to like commit, it's like they, before they put skin in the game, they want to see how this thing is going to go. And when you start talking about dying and then dying on a cross, that kind of turns people off. You know, you don't want, humanly speaking, you don't want this guy you're trusting in, like all the others of the past, this guy may be the one who's going to overthrow the Roman government, and we're going to be on our way to the kingdom of God and heaven and everything. And, you know, now he's talking about he's going to die. Well, that's really weak. That is a really weak, that's foolishness. Why should we follow you? But Jesus is saying, you have to follow, you have to lose your life. Again, who wants to lose their life? Narrow is a way that leads to life. Can you accept dying to yourself? Can any of us accept dying to ourselves, our old ways, the way we approach life? Sort of coming out of Egypt, you know, we don't want to go back there. We'll leave that behind. To get rid of baggage, the things in our life that occupy our life, you know, do we spend time with Jesus? How are we following? And the word is the following lead. We have to give up our lives. We have to die to our old self, or Jesus can live within us, is what he's saying. We get into the next phase of this is the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. When we think about that, you know, a kernel of wheat falling to the ground is just going to dry up and become part of the scenery, so to speak. But this Christ dying, it's going to be transformative. It's going to be, it's take on a new form and a new life. It's going to propagate. It's going to multiply. It's going to bear good fruit. That's this new life. It's all new, what Jesus is doing here for us. Refining what we are as human, and our human nature is going to be healed by this. It's going to be new. These concepts are hard for anybody, any of us. The idea of, you know, you can be going along following Jesus, and it's like, well, I don't know. I didn't like what the pastor said today. I don't, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to keep following anyway, and keep sticking to it, because it's really a process. And I think Jesus, when he touched the guy's the blind guy's eyes, and he touched him, and Jesus said, "Well, can you see?" And the guy says, "Well, yeah, but everybody looks like trees." So Jesus touched his eyes again. Finally, he got the clear vision. And I think on our journey with Jesus and following, the difficult concepts will come your way, because you're following you're alongside Jesus, and you're saying goodbye to the old life, and you're saying, "I want Jesus." Pearl, great price. The treasure, they saw all they have to have that. What they discovered is a discovery parables. The treasure and the pearl, great price. They sold all they had because it was so much more valuable. Eternal life. And, you know, the disciples said, "Well, who else would we go to that has life? You know, who else would we follow, Lord, but you?" So when we get to verse 23 through 33. My soul is now troubled. What can I say? Save me from this hour. No, this is the reason I came, the hour of this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came down from heaven and said, "I will glorify it and glorify it again." And the crowd was there, and they heard what had been said and thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Well, this is the third time this has happened. There was Jesus' baptism. A voice, Father's voice, spoke to Jesus. Then there was transfiguration, second time. Powerful time that that was, revealing the kingdom of heaven, opening up into the spiritual realm, seeing Jesus there and glorified. And now you have this, the final summation, so to speak, of the third voice. And then the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world, and the prince of this world will be driven out, and I will be lifted up from earth, and I draw all people to myself. All people. So kind of pointing back to the Greeks, in a sense, to all people, Gentiles. And he said this to show what kind of death he would die. So let's see where I'm at here. Can you see it and can you perceive it? You have to follow to serve. Mark 3. 34, 35. When a crowd called a crowd, when he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, he said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and carry my cross. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and never lose their life will save it." Again, it ties in how we see Jesus has to change, but it's how Jesus sees us. How does Jesus see you as a follower to serve, that the Father would give you honor, us honor, as well as just like he honored Jesus in the path he took to the cross. The cross is, nobody, like I said, nobody wants to see, humanly speaking, we don't want to see somebody go get hung up on a cross, but in a sense, that is where the power of love is expressed. That's where salvation is reached. There's no more supreme love shown than Jesus on the cross, and it had to happen that way. I would like to read a portion of The Wood Between the Worlds from Brian Zahn, just a little bit. I thought it sort of fit. To love someone is to share in their suffering. Grief is wounded love. Where there is no love, there can be no emphatic grief. Certainly, the devil does not grieve, but God grieves. Christ in his love joins humanity as a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. The logos of God, the logic of divine love, could not become human and not suffer. In other words, there's no possibility of loving the world to salvation without suffering. Jesus could not merely spread love and avoid sharing our sorrows. Adrian von Speyer explains it this way. If God brought his love to earth as pure fire, perhaps he'd find a few men who would not have completely been hardened by sin and would surrender to his fire. But the plan to save us all, he cannot do this by transmitting the fire of love from one man to another. He must first transform his fire into suffering. But because he himself is all purity, because nothing in him can be consumed, he takes with him himself the fuel of sin of the world and burns it within himself. In the human nature that the Father has given him, he suffers through all of us. That's the God we worship. That's the God we follow and serve. God who gave it all for us at the cross. So we need to see that, and see that in a way that it's much deeper and profound than anything. The ways of the world, it is foolishness, it is weakness, but it wins us all. So with that, we'll take communion.